Hi, friends. Welcome to Bayou to Beltway. I'm your host, Pearson Cross. Today, we are joined by Jan Moeller to talk about the big, beautiful bill and its impact on Louisiana. Now that it's passed into law, it is going to take effect and have some effects, and we'll talk about whether those effects are good, bad, mixed, or otherwise. And to help us with this conversation, we're going to talk to Jan Moeller. He spent more than two decades analyzing, reporting, and writing about public policy in Louisiana. He leads a group called Invest in Louisiana. He's its executive director. Invest in Louisiana does research, advocacy, outreach, and so on. Been doing that for a while. Mr. Moeller is a journalist. That's how I first met him, talking to him with regard to different articles, and he makes his home, I believe, in Baton Rouge, and where he coaches soccer, of all things. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here. Great to connect in this way. And yes, we have known each other for a long time at this point.
Yeah, it's getting to be longer every day, isn't it? But that's good. That's to our benefit. So let's talk about this just a little bit. Steve Scalise wrote an op-ed that was in the Times-Picayune talking what wonders that the big, beautiful bill would pose for Louisiana. Pelican Institute said, well, yeah, but, and the but was that it just didn't go far enough. Other people like the Southern Poverty Law Center said this is exactly what Louisiana doesn't need at this point. So we're kind of ask you, you know, what do you and your organization think about this big, beautiful bill, as it's known?
Well, thanks for having me on. And I think we would probably fall more in line with Southern Poverty Law Center. I think this was an enormous missed opportunity, and this is something that is going to have far-reaching negative effects on a lot of people in Louisiana, and it's going to have a lot of effects on state government, even though it was a federal bill. If you don't know our organization, we are nonpartisan. We're a nonprofit organization, but we look at state issues specifically on how they affect low and moderate income families. So I like to think of us as advocating for the, you know, roughly 50% of Louisiana families who are either living below the poverty line or they're above the poverty line, but not so far above that they don't have trouble making ends meet. And there's a lot of families who are in that kind of working poor area. And that's who I think really needs state and federal policies that help support them. And so the big, beautiful bill, or as we're calling it, you know, the harmful mega bill, one legislative accomplishment of Donald Trump's first year in office. Donald Trump seems to sometimes be acting more like a dictator than somebody who works with Congress, but he did get this bill through. In the broadest possible sense, this is a bill, a law, that cuts taxes across the board, but really disproportionately on people and corporations with high incomes. The tax cuts overwhelmingly go to the wealthiest taxpayers, the biggest corporations, and it pays for some of those tax cuts, but not all of them, to federal programs, mostly that serve low-income families. When you add it all up, this law is going to add more than $3 trillion to the national debt over the life of the bill. So we're adding to the deficit. We're foisting, you know, more debt onto future generations. Again, we don't have a ton of wealthy people in Louisiana. We don't have a lot of huge national corporations, so the tax cuts are mostly going to people out of state. We do have a lot of poor people who need things like food assistance. They need help paying for health care, and those are the programs that are being cut. So this is really a reverse Robin Hood situation where we are taking from the poor, giving from the rich. But then the other main concern that we have is how this changes the relationship between the federal government and the state government. And we can get into this a little more in this broadcast, but it pushes a lot of costs of particularly SNAP, which is food stamps, and Medicaid from the federal government onto the state. So if I'm Jeff Landry, I would be very worried about how this is going to affect his ability to get a balanced budget through the legislature a couple of years from now.
Thank you for that introduction. So one quick question. You said $3 trillion in increase to the national debt. That would be over the course of the bill. How long are we talking? Is this 10 years?
That's over 10 years.
10 years. Okay.
Yeah. And that's over the baseline. So again, this doesn't, you know, our debt over the next 10 years is going to go up by a lot more than $3 trillion. This is just what that law added to the debt.
Added to the debt. So you state that the Big Beautiful Bill is, in fact, not quite that beautiful when it comes to low income and families that are down close to that poverty line or even up to the middle class line. So how did this get past Congress in the first place? Was it was it a coalition to get it passed? Didn't people say that when it was being talked about?
Absolutely. I mean, this was a party line vote. This was passed without any Democratic support. This was, you know, I got to give credit to Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House from Louisiana, Steve Scalise, the majority leader. They did a very good job of keeping the Republicans in the House together on this, on such a large, sprawling bill. But this was a party line vote. I think the biggest priority for, the corporate class in Washington, who donate to a lot of campaigns, who hold a lot of power, who have, you know, hundreds, if not thousands, of lobbyists walking the halls of the Capitol, their top priority was renewing the tax cuts that passed during Donald Trump's first term, which were set to expire. So a lot of the costs here is just from extending those tax cuts, making them permanent. And that's where a huge part of the cost came. Now, they made some other changes. But then, of course, the problem is if you just renewed the tax cuts, then you're really going to blow the deficit way out of proportion. So they needed to come up with some spending cuts. And the way they found those spending cuts was by focusing on programs that serve the most vulnerable people in Louisiana and around the country.
Yeah, let me.
Unfortunately, we have more poor people than most states.
That's true. Let me reintroduce you. We're talking to Jan Moeller, who is the executive director of Invest in Louisiana, which focuses a group, nonpartisan group that focuses on budget policy type issues in state government, particularly in Louisiana. So I guess some of the aspects, so you said this is going to have an effect on food stamps. Is it also going to have an effect on health care or other kinds of things here in Louisiana? And explain how the effect on food stamps might work or the SNAP program.
Yeah, absolutely. So the SNAP program, which is food stamps, and they're not stamps. It's a debit card, a Louisiana purchase card. Got about 850,000 people in Louisiana on SNAP. And of course, food stamps doesn't cover a family's entire food budget. It supplements that. It's for people who mostly are working to give them enough money to put food on the table. And that program, the way it works is the states and the federal government, they split the costs 50-50 for administering the program. Just the administration is handled at the state level, and they split the costs. And then the benefits are 100% paid for by the federal government. Well, this new law makes two changes. One, it changes that administrative cost share from 50-50 to now it's going to be 75% on the state, 25% on the federal government. That change takes effect this coming October. And in Louisiana, that means we're going to be spending about $43 million more next year just to administer the SNAP program. And then the year after that, states are going to have to, for the first time in the program's history, this is a 50-year-old program, pay a share of those benefit costs, and that cost share is going to depend on the error rate. So every state, depending on how good a job they do of administering the food stamp program, is going to have to pay, in most cases, some kind of cost share. So when you add this up, Louisiana, just in the budget that Jeff Landry just put out, is going to pay an extra, you know, $43 million just to keep the program going, just to keep what they have right now. And those costs could go up by another $100 million or so starting a year from now. And so if you're Jeff Landry, and keep in mind, the state has to balance its budget every year. And so unless you're willing to raise taxes, if you're going to pay another $150 million a year for food stamps, just to keep the same benefit levels, that's money you can't spend somewhere else. That's money that you can't spend on education or building roads or taking care of some other needs. In Louisiana, for example, you know, we know that Jeff Landry, the first thing he did when he came into office was he took away, you know, he lengthened sentences, took away probation and parole for people who are in prison. That's going to add a lot of costs to the state. So there's already kind of new costs coming down the pipeline. When you add the cost of SNAP to that, it's going to make it a lot harder to balance the budget in future years. And we already are seeing the results of that because they are projecting big budget shortfalls starting next year.
Wow. That sounds like that's certainly not a good thing. The thing that concerned me when you were talking about it was that the cost share for Louisiana was going to be based on error rate. Who's going to determine the error rate for SNAP benefits, or is it a Medicaid error rate that they're looking at?
It's the SNAP error rate, and that job, one of the things the state did this in 2025 was they made some changes to benefit programs. So they moved that from the Department of Children and Family Services over to the State Department of Health. So the Secretary of Health in Louisiana is Bruce Greenstein, and he now oversees this SNAP benefit program for 847,000 Louisianans, and it is his job to get that error rate down as low as he can so that the state isn't going to have to put up more money for SNAP. And that's a huge administrative challenge. And again, it comes at a time when the state is already being asked to pick up more money for these administrative costs. So on the one hand, there's an incentive for the state to spend less time and effort on administration. On the other hand, there's all this incentive to spend more time and effort to make sure that you are administering the program the right way, because if you get it wrong, then you're going to be penalized.
Boy, it sounds tough. Now, what you're describing means that there's going to be a really unforgiving scenario for Jeff Landry, which means that budget deficits in Louisiana are projected to rise at the same time that Louisiana is being asked to carry more of the weight to pay for food and care for poor people. 20 seconds. Is that a correct analysis?
Absolutely. And I think this is, I know that this is a lot about party discipline, but I think it's going to get a lot tougher for Jeff Landry to manage this budget. And a lot of these problems are going to start coming up next year as he is running for re-election.
Wow. So all of this, and we're going to stuff it into an election year. This sounds like a 2026 is going to be very challenging, particularly with the legislature meeting, and 27, maybe even more. We've been talking this morning with Jan Moeller of Invest in Louisiana. Thanks for joining the show, Jan.
Anytime. Thanks for having me on.